So tell me, who doesn't like, you don't have to answer, I'm just asking rhetorically. Who doesn't like to receive good gifts? And I mean, I'm not talking about gifts that you don't want, but gifts that you truly desire. Who doesn't like to receive favor, especially when at the time when you needed one, really needed one, like getting out of jail or something? Who doesn't like to be loved, to have the feeling of being wanted, the feeling of being loved by others? Well, I have you noticed that this is exactly what this passage that I have just read is all about. Blessing. Blessing. Blessings are favors, goodness, gifts that are called and granted upon someone. Now, the idea is to cause someone to be loved, or to cause someone to receive love through granting favors, goodness, gifts, to shower someone with goodness because of your love. Remember, Jesus said in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Or, as we have seen this often in the Bible, that to bless also means to express favor, to express joy, to show delight in somebody. So nobody in the right mind, I hope not you, would reject true blessings in life or would turn down the opportunity to love, to express love, to delight in someone. That's the act of blessing. Everyone should want to be blessed and to bless, because that's how we are wired. That's how we are wired, because that's how God is like, as we are all created in His image. The only thing is that we express blessing in different degree proportion from Him. That's it. We want to receive blessing and we want to bless. But you know what the problem is often? Often, we don't know how to bless others, nor do we know how to appreciate our blessings. Let me give you an example here. So a little girl came to her father and asked for a nickel. The father reached into his pocket, but he doesn't have any change. So all he had was just a $20 bill. So he knew that that's a lot of money for a little girl, but he figured that his daughter has been really good lately, so she deserves it. So he decided to give the $20 to her. But the girl said, "Oh no, Daddy, you don't understand. All I want is just a nickel." The father said, "No, honey, you don't understand. The 20 is a lot of nickels." But the girl didn't understand, as she said, "Daddy, why won't you give me a nickel?" So he kept trying to explain to her, but she just wasn't getting it. Then she started crying and having a temper tantrum. "Daddy, why? You said you were going to give me a nickel, and why won't you give me a nickel?" Well, this little girl has not only failed in recognizing her blessing, but she has also failed in blessing her father. Blessing her father in expressing gratitude. That's a vivid portrayal of who we are often as Christians, even as Christians. That's who we are, what we are like. From this passage I just have just read for you, I want to point out three things. First, what is the wrong way to bless? And second, what is the wrong way to be blessed? And third, and finally, the only way to bless and be blessed. So first, the wrong way to bless. And we see this clearly from Isaac and Rebekah in this passage. At this point of the story in the life of Jacob, I know that last 2 weeks ago we started in chapter 25. We jump past chapter 26 because chapter 26 is focused solely on Isaac's life. So instead of getting distracted by Isaac, I just wanted to focus on Jacob's life and what's around him. So at this point of the story, Esau has already sold his birthright to Jacob. We studied that last week in chapter 25, the end of it. So Esau despised his birthright and sold it for a meal. The meal is actually just bean soup, lentil soup, stew. All this came by ways of by ways of Jacob's cunning and crafty manipulation of Esau and the situation. Now, perhaps Esau thought that the act of selling his birthright was, no big deal. Because to him, who needs the birthright if you are already your father's favorite son? And he's probably thinking that his father's going to give him his firstborn blessing anyway, which turns out to be the case in chapter 27. So when Isaac was old, to the point where he was blind and also bedridden, you notice that a couple of times when he talked to his sons, he was actually in bed. He has to get up. So he was bedridden already. So he wanted to put his house in order. I don't think Isaac was old enough to a point of death yet. Actually, he's going to live for a few more decades after this. But he just wanted to put his house in order at this point. But he ignored one thing. Or he didn't really care about it, even if he knew about it. What he ignored was what God has said to Rebecca before that his two sons, when her two sons were born, which was in chapter 25, verse 23, the older shall serve the younger, meaning Jacob over Esau. He was determined to bless Esau as the firstborn, even to the extent of having a private blessing ceremony. That's what we see, a private blessing ceremony. The blessing of the sons, according to ancient Near Eastern custom, are supposed to be a public event, a public affair, with all the sons present. If you look into, flip forward to later on in Jacob's lives, when he blesses his 12 sons, they were all there. Jacob knew exactly what to do. They have all of his 12 sons all there before he died. Well, now, what? Only Esau? Not even Rebecca. Nobody else is around. Yeah, I suspect that Esau is really trying to pull a fast one here. In Esau's mind, he knows once he gives this blessing, it is a done deal. It is irrevocable. No one else, not Jacob, not Rebecca, can do anything about it. All this just shows how bad Esau's favoritism has become, which I mentioned in my last sermon. So, to learn from this, I want to give you what we need to learn from it. I want to explain why. Okay, we need to be obedient in listening to God's word and not give in to our selfish flesh and physical appetite, which will lead us to spiritual blindness. That's what's going on with Isaac. Sure, Isaac was physically blind. He was physically blind, but that only points to his spiritual blindness in discerning God's will, in discerning God's purpose. How did he become so spiritually blind? Well, you notice how, and I got this from Robert Otter, that I remember mentioned last week, Isaac is a man of his senses. He's a man of his senses, minus his physical eyesight, of course. He's a man of taste. He likes game. He's a man of appetite. I mentioned this along the line with Esau last week as well. He's also a man of touch. Notice from this passage. He trusted his judgment when he touched Jacob, thinking that he's Esau. And he's also a man of smell. When Jacob came to kiss him, he smelled Esau's clothes, and he trusted that. You notice, what is the one sense that is missing here besides seeing? Hearing. Sure, Isaac had doubts when he heard Jacob's voice. Notice that we read that. When he heard Jacob's voice and not Esau's, but, verse 22, but he let his other senses, his taste, his touch, his smell, to overrule his hearing. The truth is, it isn't only Jacob's voice that he didn't hear. What he really didn't hear was God's voice. What the Lord has said to Rebekah, that the older shall serve the younger. He gave into his flesh. He gave into his feelings. He gave into his sensuality, which led him to become so spiritually blind. A man was stopping at a traffic light waiting for it to turn green when his car was unexpectedly rear-ended. The two drivers hopped out of their cars, and a vicious argument broke out. The man at fault defended himself by saying, "I really felt like running into somebody today to vent my frustrations. Your bumper sticker has given me the license to crash into your car." And guess what his bumper sticker says? It says, "If it feels good, do it." Don't laugh, because that's exactly what a lot of people are doing today. If it feels good, do it. It sums up our world, what our world is telling us to do all the time, to go with our feelings rather than doing what's right as defined by God. The problem isn't what God said isn't loud enough for us to hear, or that he hasn't made himself clear on how we are to bless him or to find delight in him, to show gratitude to him, and also how we are to bless others around us with his goodness, the goodness that he has given us. We know, we heard these things. It wasn't because God wasn't loud enough, wasn't clear enough. Our problem is that our ears and our hearts are tuned to follow other senses, our other senses, our feelings, our urges, our desires for ease, for comfort, for safety, for success, for selfish achievements, for entertainment, for complacency. So we have slowly become spiritually blind and increasingly disobedient, unable to hear God. While thinking that we may be blessing others, we are just serving ourselves, giving into our own sinful flesh and desire. We are serving ourselves when we think we are blessing others sometimes. Well, just as Isaac encouraged Esau's sensual personality, we also see how Rebecca cultivated Jacob's scheming and cunning personality, as we can tell from her way of helping Jacob to get his firstborn blessing, which is so obviously, blatantly, morally wrong, and that it really doesn't take much to notice. I mean, I hope you agree. Brothers and sisters, remember this. The end cannot justify the means, no matter how good the end may be. You can never bless someone by teaching, advising, telling, doing something for someone, serving someone or for yourself something. That is contrary to God's word, contrary to God's moral standard, contrary to biblical principles. It is never good. It is never right. And it is not a blessing to others or to yourself. So look, in the name of trying to get her younger son to be blessed, Rebecca isn't blessing him at all. Rather, she, in a way, has put a curse on Jacob, on her son. We'll learn in the next passage that Jacob would have to run for his life from Esau's death threat. And back in verse 13, when Jacob is worried about getting caught by his father, Isaac, when Rebekah explained to him her plan to fool his father, Isaac, she said this in verse 13, "Let your curse be on me." When Jacob was afraid, he said, "Let your curse be on me." It kind of did. The curse kind of did fall on her. Guess what happened? Rebekah would never see Jacob again once he left home, when he fled from home. She died. But here's the irony of what Rebecca said in the second half of verse 13. She said, "My son, only obey my voice and go." While Isaac wouldn't use his sense of hearing to first obey God's command and second listen for the voice of Esau, Rebecca is urging Jacob to listen and obey her command, which is so deceitful and wicked. And Jacob obeyed perfectly. Brothers and sisters, friends, engaging in the wrong way to bless, to show delight in someone, to express favor to someone, can turn out to be a curse to them and to yourself. So, what voices, whose command are you following? Whose command are you obeying in showing your love and your blessing for others? Or is your love or blessing for others ultimately just self-serving? Think. So that's the wrong way to bless. And second, is the wrong way to be blessed, or to seek blessing, if you will. We'll focus only on Jacob in this point. We have already noticed how hard and how well Jacob followed Rebekah's plan to deceive Isaac for the firstborn blessing. And he succeeded, obviously. But we must ask this question. What is Jacob's understanding of his blessing? What is Jacob's understanding of this blessing? What was he really seeking? In other words, in the chapters that follow this, from chapter 27 forward, it will become increasingly clear that Jacob at this point hasn't fully comprehended the spiritual significance of the promise beyond the earthly prosperity, earthly blessings. This whole blessing was all given by God to Abraham in the first place and then to Isaac. Jacob will get there by the time we get to chapter 23, when he wrestles with God and when he had to face Esau again when he returns home. We'll get there in the future weeks. But there is one hint, one strong indicator in this text that tells us that Jacob is seeking and striving so hard for the wrong kind of blessing. One hint, one indicator. Look at verse 20. When Isaac was surprised that Jacob, whom he thought was Esau, returned so quickly from his supposed hunting trip for wild game, Jacob lied and said, he asked him, well, how did you get back so fast? Jacob lied and said, because the Lord your God granted me success. Notice, he didn't say what he didn't say. He didn't say, the Lord my God. He said, the Lord your God has granted me success. In other words, Jacob only wanted the blessing of Isaac's God. He doesn't want Isaac's God to be his God. He only wants Isaac's God's benefits. What this God can give me, he doesn't really want to have a relationship with him. Isn't this the same kind of mentality so many people, even Christians, have today? We all want the good stuff from God. We want wealth. We want comfort, protection, safety, security, good health, good family, good children, all these things. But we don't really treasure just having a relationship with our Creator, with our Savior. Or at least, that's not on the top of our list of what we want. To some of us, that's just a nice to have. Well, you got it wrong. You have it all wrong. And on top of this, the way Jacob seeks to be blessed is all wrong also. When he doubted his mother's plan, Rebecca's plan, I just mentioned a moment ago, he wasn't doubting because it was morally wrong to deceive his father. He was afraid because of the consequence of getting caught. That's it. He didn't think that was actually wrong. So, just like Rebecca, he has no issue of using any means necessary, even more immoral or unethical ones, to achieve his goal of gaining Isaac's blessing. And also notice this. What Jacob actually does in seeking the blessing he wants in life isn't so different from how we often do it. Notice this. What do? We turn ourselves into someone we are not. We turn ourselves into someone that we are not. For Jacob, he pretended to be Esau. in order to gain Isaac's acceptance, his love, his acknowledgement, his recognition, his appreciation, his blessing. We often, too, pretend to be someone else in order to gain others' acceptance, love, acknowledgement, recognition, appreciation, blessing. Like what? Like you choose a career path that you actually hate just so you can be respected, just so that you can make money, just so that people would love you. Or you constantly find ways to please your friends just so that you can stay accepted in that group. But that's not really you. You know, we live in a world that is so wrapped up by what we can do so that we can be accepted and recognized and loved by others. How often when you meet a new person, one of the first questions you ask, or vice versa, the other person asks you is what? What kind of work do you do? Now, and the thing is that if that person has a big, big job, has a big title and a big pay, that person must be somebody. Someone who's accepted, recognized, and loved by our society. Is this who a person really is? Who we are? When Isaac asks Jacob, verse 32, who are you? Isaac wasn't asking, which of my sons are you? The Holy Spirit, I believe, has in mind to point out the issue of false identity here when that was asked. How we pretend to be someone we are not, just so we may gain acceptance, favor, and blessing. That's the wrong way to be blessed, to seek blessing. That's the wrong way to seek blessing in life. Now, finally, the question is, what is the only way to bless and be blessed? My third point. Well, first, we must come to terms with who we really are. We must come to terms with who we really are. It's almost spring, right? I think like less than 10 days it'll be officially spring. Grass is turning green out there. Trees are budding and leaves are resurfacing. Here's a question for you. Again, you don't have to answer me out loud. What's the true color of leaves, you know? What's the true color of leaves? If you say green, you'd be wrong. Leaves are not green. That's what most people think. Because in spring, when new leaves grow, they come out green. So you automatically think that they're green. Who would have thought that leaves, the true colors, is actually what? Orange and yellow. The green color is just a cover that results from the trees producing a compound called chlorophyll from photosynthesis. Without chlorophyll, leaves are just orange and yellow. We need to know who we truly are. We need to know who we truly are. Who are we? We are yellow and brown, wretched sinners. We are wretched sinners who desperately need God's sovereign mercy, because otherwise, we cannot be blessed. Unless we know who we are, we cannot be blessed. There's something very interesting here in this story, and I got this insight from a commentator, another commentator named Derek Kidner. When Isaac realized he gave the firstborn blessing to the wrong son, of course, to his standard, wrong, okay? He wanted to bless Esau. He, in verse 33, this is what it describes him. He trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me?" He knows. He knows who that was. He just didn't want to say it. And then he continues and said, "I ate it before you came." Before you came, that's Esau. "And I have blessed him." And here comes the turning point of Isaac. That's the insight from Derek Kidner. And Isaac says this, what? He said, "Yes, yes, and he shall be blessed." Derek Kidner points out that this is more than just Isaac believing. What has been said is out there. What's spoken to Jacob cannot be unspoken. It's kind of like, you know how if I said, I said something out there, it's out there, it's forever, affecting your psyche, affecting your life. Yeah, that's true. But that's not the only thing that's happening here in this verse, what he's saying here. Derek Kidner says this, and I quote, Isaac knows. He's been fighting against God as Esau has, and he accepts defeat. It's a realization, a moment of realization. In other words, Isaac finally realized the wrong that he has been doing. He realized who he has been, a rebel against God's will. And now he comes to terms with who he really is. He aligned himself with God, finally, to bless not Esau, Jacob, of what is due him. And what is, and later on, he also blessed Esau. That should not be viewed as a curse, by the way. I think that's just an appropriate blessing for Esau. We are reminded in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20, this is the author of Hebrews said, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith. The only way to bless and be blessed is to come to terms with who we truly are, wretched sinners who desperately need God's sovereign mercy, to know, and also, another thing we need to know is to know what true blessing really is. Other than know, come to terms with who you are, you need to know what true blessing really is. And we see that in the blessing that Jacob received in the words of Isaac, verses 28 to 30. Now, these words of blessing contain both the physical and spiritual dimensions that are mixed together in this blessing. Clearly, there's earthly prosperity involved to a certain extent, and they're only applicable to Jacob's descendants. But the last line, notice the last line there when he says, cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. This identifies this blessing as the blessing God promised to Abraham, which can only find its final fulfillment, its ultimate fulfillment in Abraham's one offspring, one son. Also, that will also be Jacob's offspring as well. Who are we talking about? Of course, we're talking about Jesus Christ, right? We're talking about Jesus as that final blessing. Unless you stop pretending to be someone else you're not and come to terms with who you are, wretched sinner, and instead put on Christ's righteousness by faith, unless you do that, God, instead of blessing you, God curses you because of your pretense, because of your selfish ambition, because of your scheming, your rebellion, your disobedience, your wicked thoughts, your words, and your actions. Galatians 3:13, I cited last week and I cite it again. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. You see how this works? God, Christ, redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is only by Christ stripping off his own blessing, him stripping off his own blessing, and took on the curse of our sin on the cross, we can be blessed. It is really Jesus, not Rebekah, who spoke these words, in other words, in verse 13, when what Rebekah said this was really Jesus saying this, let your curse be on me, my son. Obey my voice. So will you obey Jesus' voice to let your curse be on him and obey his voice? Now, what about the earthly prosperity part of the blessing? I mean, many of us are focusing on that. If that's the part you really care about, I want to tell you something. You have just missed the entire blessing altogether, which is all about having God in Jesus Christ in your life, which is all about having a relationship with God. When Christ returns, and brings with him the new heaven and the new earth, when all nations are under all under him, we, all who trust in Christ, all believers, true believers, we will share in and enjoy every earthly prosperity conceivable. That will happen. Even as we receive the full measure of Christ's spiritual prosperity now, we have that 100% in us. That spiritual prosperity even we have now. We will have the earthly prosperity in the future. But so let me end this with this story. A man who was extremely wealthy died. He left behind a very expensive art collection with many art pieces, wonderful pieces. He had a son who actually died before him, a son whom he loved, who would have been his heir of everything. So a public auction was held to sell the valuable art pieces from the wealthy man's collection. Because of this art collection, over 1,000 people came from all over the world to this auction. The auction started with a self-portrait painted by the wealthy man's dead son. It is an ordinary painting. It's not much to say about it. It's not at all comparing to the rest of the expensive art pieces in the collection. So the floor opened for bids, but nobody was bidding on that piece of, until a poor old man near the front of the auction house meagerly, almost shamefully, offered a very small amount of money for it. Now, the auctioneer recognized this poor old man because he used to be a servant of this wealthy man. So the auctioneer hit the gavel, and the painting is sold. He got the painting. The old man got the painting. As soon as that happened, everyone in the room was so excited, and because now the real bidding finally begins, right? The expensive art collection people can get. But to their surprise and chagrin, the auctioneer hit the gavel again and declared that the auction is over. Everyone was confused. So the auctioneer explained that in the will of the master, the instructions specifically said to auction off the self-portrait of the master's son first. And then whoever gets that gets the entire collection, everything. The master knew whoever loved his son and accepted him could not only have his son's work, but everything else that belonged to him. If you don't treasure and get Christ, God's son, as your true blessing in your life, you get nothing. If you do, you get everything else. It is as simple as that. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed of the rich blessing that you have given us sinners who don't deserve it. You are a true blesser. But often, Father, we know that we chase after the good things that you offer us and forgetting you, the blesser. We are sorry. And we ask that you will forgive us of our sins and help us to see the preciousness of loving Jesus, having him as our blessing in our life, and through knowing him, that we may also bless others in life. We praise you for this glorious grace in the gospel. All these we pray in Christ Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.